Congresswoman, just start us off. First of all, take us through everything going on. Are you safe? Is everybody okay? And what are you seeing out there in Washington on this Wednesday?
What we're seeing here in Washington is something that I thought a country like the United States would never see, which is essentially Americans trying to overturn their elected officials and their government body. They're staging a coup. They have made it into the Capitol, onto the chamber floor, into Statuary Hall. The last thing I saw was someone coming out bloodied on a stretcher. We're in complete lockdown. We are to stay away from windows. We are to stay away from doors. Do not leave. Surrounding the Capitol within a two-block area, the entire place is on lockdown. As we go into this evening, the mayor has issued a 6 p.m. curfew for the entire city. It's probably one of the most, the last 2 years have honestly been something in this job. Every day where I've seen folks chipping away at our democracy, today is a sad, sad day in our country. And I am so sad to see Americans hurting other Americans when we should be uniting to help each other get over COVID and put our country back in shape. It's a sad and dark day in this country.
Please take us through just how quickly this developed. I mean, everybody was talking about, you know, certifying the election and, you know, going over the different things that you go over in the first week of any, you know, legislative session. And how quickly did it devolve to what you're seeing now?
Automatically. I have been this morning doing multiple district Zoom events with, you know, whether, you know, with folks in Warren County, Des Moines. I've been working on some bills, and then we expected that we would have a House vote starting somewhere around about right now. We went into session at 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock. We're expecting to go into recess at 1 and then start voting for the Electoral College to put President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris in their rightfully elected offices. And up until honestly about an hour ago, that's where we thought we were headed. And then all hell broke loose. They stormed the Capitol. The police were overrun. I'm currently watching videos of people sitting in the speaker's chair. They are traipsing through the Capitol. It's a wild scene out here. It happened automatically. At first it was a Senate building that needed to get closed down. Then it went to another House building along with the Capitol, of course. Then it went into full lockdown. It's just been something else. Then it went into the streets being closed. It was real quick. It's a very dangerous situation.
You know, there have been so many instances where a position of power has been transferred from one party to another party, but this is really the most hectic that we've ever seen historically. I mean, even back in the 1770s, we didn't have this issue with somebody passing power onto somebody else, and this has just kind of boiled over from the last 4 years.
You're exactly right. Today is supposed to be really what would be almost a procedural piece. There's never in the history of our country to see something like voting the rightfully elected next president in and accepting the state's electoral college votes is something that's really just been standard practice. Then we saw the president engage his supporters to fight back against it. We saw dozens of Senate Republicans, as well as over 100, of course, Republicans in Congress sign on to trying to overturn the election results. I'm outraged. I'm so deeply disappointed that any one of my colleagues who are validating this completely false narrative on this election, that they did that. It led to what we're seeing today. Their support of the president's agenda to try and overturn a safe and election that actually represented the voice of the people in this country. And their support of that is dangerous, it's treasonous, and it's unbelievable what's happening as a result of it. This is uncalled for, never seen in our country. We are better people than this.
And so what's the timetable look like now for today, as hopefully, you know, the law enforcement and everybody's able to get in there and get these people out? And, you know, you mentioned somebody sitting in the speaker's chair. I mean, this has never happened before. So where are you guys at now in terms of what you're preparing for this to continue? Because, I mean, even though there were gas masks apparently under the seats in the House, so you were prepared for some things, but, you know, what does this evolve into?
Well, right now, breaking news is that Congress just halted the vote count. So we, at this point, do not know when we will be going in to vote for the Electoral College. And until this gets under control, I don't know what that will look like. Certainly, the mayor of D.C., as well as Speaker Pelosi, has called for the National Guard to come in. They're trying to evacuate the Capitol and get these people out. There are people stuck in there. I'm just looking, you know, I'm seeing so many things that you're seeing as well. Some of my great colleagues who are stuck in the Capitol and down on the floor, you know, I mean, people are scared. This is a horrible situation. So I don't know what today's going to entail. I highly doubt we're going to be voting today. I don't see how that would even happen.
And what steps are you taking to keep you and your staff safe? Because we were worried about faithless electors going into today, into Wednesday. We were worried about people changing the vote and people challenging the vote. And we got this. Like, this was not on anybody's radar.
Well, that's right. So, you know, we're taking every precaution. You know, I've evacuated. I'm safe. I'm making sure that I'm following every protocol. So is my team out here. We've evacuated our offices in Iowa out of safety for our team. You know, we're going to do everything we can to protect the people that are trying to do everything they can for the third district that work for me. So we're doing everything we can to protect ourselves, which means, you know, we're on lockdown, and my staff in Iowa has left the offices to keep them safe just in case. And this is what we're going to have to be doing. Once again, another day where we can't serve the American people the way that we should because of the result of what this president has done to our country and how he's incited people to violence.
And so, Congresswoman, you know, we had some positive news. You got your vaccination for COVID-19. I saw the photo online and the video that was sent. And so we had all this nice good news coming up. You know, we had Christmas and New Year's and the vaccination going through, and everybody seemed to be reacting well to that. And so what types of things are you looking forward to getting done once you can get back to normal?
Well, absolutely, we've got to make sure that we follow through with getting vaccinations out to folks and ensuring that the last COVID bill that we put forth gets executed to allow our small businesses in Iowa to be successful, to put money in people's pockets, continue unemployment, all of that. We'll probably need another package of some sort even after this last one because it didn't get to the level that was needed. So that's going to be a priority. But I'm going to tell you, number one is to start making families whole in Iowa, putting money in their pocket by reducing their costs for health care, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, helping raise the minimum wage so that they can actually have a living wage, certainly address infrastructure, including broadband, something that I was a key part of over this last term, making sure that we get that out to every single person in Iowa, and certainly addressing what I also believe is another infrastructure issue. We oftentimes think of roads and bridges, which we've got to fix, waters and sewer systems, of course, but child care. We're at risk of losing half of our child care providers across this country. Iowa had a child care desert to begin with. And if our parents can't find safe places for their children to flourish so that they can work, we'll continue to see economic decline in Iowa. I consider that to be equally as important as some of these other aspects. And certainly as a mom of two boys older now, I know how hard it is to just leave your children, let alone not know if they're going to have a place to even go. So these are, you know, they're very basic issues, but it's the basic issues that we've got to get our hands around in this country and start making people whole and giving them an opportunity again for a better life.
And Congresswoman, have you received any further news from the Senate runoff elections in Georgia? Because I know all eyes are on that. One of the races was called in favor of the Democrats. The other one was still too close to call, even though the Democratic candidate did declare victory. And, you know, all eyes being on that to flip the Senate blue. I know the House and the Senate have been at each other's, you know, throats, for lack of a better term, for trying to get legislation passed. Your branch has passed through so many bills that are just still kind of floating around in the Senate. You know, how excited are you to see if that comes to fruition and you get the majority in both the House and the Senate, and then you also have the Democratic president, so you can start trying to push across some of the things that have just been dying over, I'd say, the last 8 years with the Republican Senate?
Well, I can tell you I'm really excited. For the last couple of years, we have not got done what needed to be done for the people in this country. It was the least effective Congress in the last, in the history of our country, because to your point, we were doing the work that we needed to get done in the House and the Senate wasn't moving anything forward. Over 400 bills were left on the table without them even looking at. So we've got a lot that we need to do. I firmly believe that we need to do everything as much as we possibly can from a bipartisan perspective. I know that that's how we will come together, find solutions, and move agendas forward. But we also need to make sure that we don't have gridlock like we did last time and get nothing done. I mean, we got some good things done. I'm not saying that. But we need to do more, and we've got to be able to get some things through. And so to be able to have a Democratic Senate, which is a high probability at this time, would be very helpful in moving these bills forward that we've been sitting on that will literally put money in people's pockets. The prescription drug bill automatically will allow us to negotiate the cost of our drugs for Medicare and Medicaid and then extend that savings on to every American for the 300 most expensive and most used drugs in this country. That bill never got signed into law. I think we'd all like to put thousands of dollars back in our pocket on healthcare expenses. So, you know, I'm excited that we're going to have an opportunity. And I'm also excited that even though there could possibly be all three branches, controlled by the Democratic Party, I know that Joe Biden wants to unite this country. He wants to make sure that we do things in a bipartisan fashion. I think when we just saw today his announcement of wanting to seat Merrick Garland is a perfect example of that. And I know that he is a trusted source. I've gotten to know him. I've worked with his transition team. He's a man of deep conviction for his faith. He's a man who wants to support his country. He's a man who didn't grow up with, he wasn't a privileged person. He's worked his whole life, and he's your everyday Joe. And I know that even if we have Democratic control of the branches, he will work very hard to ensure that the voices of all Americans are heard.
Congresswoman, how important is it for all the voters at the local level, all the way up, to kind of start to maybe shed a bit of those party lines? Because voters, at least from how I understood it when I went through my history classes, voters are supposed to listen to the candidates and vote for the candidates that most align with what they believe versus aligning on a certain party. And it's been building up to kind of a point where people will just vote on those party lines without actually even listening to people. And it's causing a lot of discord in just the community in general, in between families, between, you know, everybody. And so how important is it maybe to kind of shift away from that and get back to being more American than being Republican or Democrat?
I don't think there's a more important time than ever in our country's history than right now, with exactly what you're saying, Josh. If anybody turns on the TV today, having our country come together in unity looks to me to be the number one priority that we should have. And you're absolutely right. We should vote for people as opposed to a party. It's why I'm sitting here in this position on my second term. I increased the turnout in half of my counties. I didn't win. I won Polk County and didn't win the others, but I increased turnout, and in some cases by 15% because of the hard work that I did, whether it was our flood victims in Fremont County or working with our farmers in Montgomery County, or of course the work, you know, that we've done to help Guthrie County. And I think that people in our district, enough of them realize that here's a woman who said she'd get out there and work for Iowa, and she did that. And I hope that we see more Iowans and more Americans across this country vote for folks that they believe can do that. I've got some real good Republican colleagues out here that I do a heck of a lot of work with. Troy Balderson from Ohio, Brian Fitzpatrick is another one. You know, these are folks who are really trying to be dedicated to their particular constituent group, and you know, they get rewarded for that by having the faith of the people that they serve reelect them, even if they don't come from the same party, because they're working hard to make sure that their constituents' voices are heard. But we need more elected officials who are like that, because I can tell you there are plenty who aren't, plenty who would much more prefer to look at an ideological position. And unfortunately, that plays into what your question's about, Josh, just voting for a party. Because of the, I think, the framework by which we present things via social media and other outlets. So I think I'm hoping that we get there. I don't know if it's going to be overnight, though.
No, it'll probably take just as long to get there as it's taken us to get to this point. But hopefully,
right.
Maybe today, maybe Wednesday's response and Wednesday's people can see what's going on out there and see that this is not the way to do it.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. This has been instead of a week of starting to pass bills out to put some pieces in place to help the American public, we're seeing violence against other Americans. It's a really, really dark day here in America.
And, you know, one of the things that you and the rest of the House was really trying to advocate was increasing the stimulus package. Many people have received their $600 check, but, you know, the House was really strong, inclined to really increase that up to $2,000. And maybe, you know, maybe this wouldn't have happened if that could have been pushed out and over with. So where do you guys stand on that particular issue with maybe trying to get that increased if this can all die down and you guys can get back to work?
Well, listen, the American public is going to tell us that they need more. This is just what's going to happen. We're going to continue to need more support to get vaccines pushed out, to support folks' ability to move us through this COVID nightmare that we're in. We're still going to need to put more effort and support behind that in the form of money. We are once again at a place where our healthcare providers are in dire need. They are stretched thin. We need to make sure that they get what they need. And of course, even though we're putting together another package for small businesses, until people feel safe getting back up and going out on a consistent basis, they're still going to struggle. That's going to keep people out of jobs. We're going to need to continue with some probably some extended unemployment until we get back to where we are. You know, I spent a decade in state government, and I was there during the Reinvestment and Recovery Act under President Obama when we'd been through the recession around, you know, 2008, 2009 timeframe. And I was responsible for oversight of how we used the ARRA funding. One of the things that we did, that they did at a federal level where we fell short, and any economist worth their salt would tell you this, was we stopped short of infusing our economy with what was necessary. And what that did was what it extended unemployment for a longer period of time, which led to more people continuing to be unemployed and also many people underemployed. And it took a long time for those folks to recover. The last time that you want to pull back on spending is during a downtime like this. That doesn't mean that we won't be looking at the debt. That doesn't mean that we won't be looking at how we can shore things up in the future. But now is not the time to do it.
And what's the process to try to get back to some of the positives that we did see toward the end of 2020, the voter turnout, you know, all of those, you know, the voter turnout, the vaccine, all of the things that were going well, how important is it to try and, you know, I don't want to say put this down as to what's going on, but to examine this and say, okay, this is our negative, but we can't dwell on this. We have to move forward.
Listen, I think that, you know, days pass by. We all know that. The 20th of this month is coming up. No matter what happens between now and then, Joe Biden will be duly seated as president. And I think we're going to start seeing a corner. Now, on the other hand, I've already heard that the president has stated that he's going to make life a nightmare for the Republican Party with the money that he's going to control over them. And that could make it really difficult for us to be able to work together. I hope that folks see guidance in the Biden administration, see strength in the people that he's putting into office who truly know what they're doing, who have the experience to get things done. In the bipartisan fashion that he's working in, they see a leader in him, somebody that they see, somebody they can relate to, somebody who has seen loss, who's just a solid, religious, married man, good grandfather, somebody they believe that their morals are in line with, and that hopefully our country can realize that we have more alike than we have different through his leadership and through some good bills that we're passing through the House. And we'll see some light at the end of this tunnel, hopefully, you know, by this summer.
You know, one of the big things that you've advocated for is veterans. And as a veteran yourself, you got a bill passed through just recently to help with veterans. Can you take us through a little bit about what's in that bill?
Well, I'm not a veteran. Just to clarify, I thought you had mentioned that. So I certainly would.
I thought you were. Sorry.
I would never want to claim that because I certainly want to honor our veterans and the work that they've done.
Rephrase the question. I can always go back and forth.
Yeah. So, you know, what we got done through our National Defense Authorization Act was to do many things. First and foremost, ensure that our military families sorry, I'm watching what's happening. I'm
I completely
got off course. Sorry.
I can support our
military families. It gives them a much needed raise that they so need and deserve. It ensures that we have appropriate structures and support and supplies for our military as they serve our country. It makes sure that we're investing in protections and security for our country. And it gives opportunity to our military families in some new ways that will help them. It includes things like, you know, getting things like our Blue Water bill that I was part of passed for our folks like my father-in-law who served in Vietnam. And there were many folks who were exposed to Agent Orange, but because of the unit they were serving in or the branch they were serving in, they didn't qualify to receive that coverage for Agent Orange, and they got sick and it cost them and they died. We're covering things like that. We're looking at issues like that. We should never be leaving any of our veterans behind when it comes to the health care that they need when they served our country. So I was excited to be a part of moving that agenda forward.
Well, Congressman, I would ask you what you expect for the rest of this week and up until Inauguration Day from the Congress, but I think we really can't quite say, huh?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't know what, you know, the expectation was today we would be validating the Electoral College votes, flying home, and then I'm planning on a lot of district work next week. I have multiple very safe events planned to get back out in district. But I honestly, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sitting here on TV watching Americans chase a Capitol police officer through the Capitol, chasing him down, threatening him. This is where we're at. So I honestly, when I see something like that, I don't know what to say. And now I'm seeing armed police with masks and shields coming into the Capitol grounds. We're going to have to get through a lot this week before we determine, you know, what next week even looks like.
Well, Congresswoman, please, please stay as safe as you can out there. And hopefully people can wake up a little bit and see that this is not the way to do things. And if you have any further words for the people of Guthrie and Dallas County, and the hopes that they don't see what's going on and get involved as well, because you know the last thing you want is for this to go widespread across the entire nation when people see these types of acts happen.
Right. The one of the tenets of our country is our democratic values and how we use those values to uphold our republic. What we're seeing today is a slap in the face of our democracy, an abuse of our Constitution. And I would hope that anyone in the 3rd District would put their country over their party any day of the week. I will do that. I will always stand up for our country. And I encourage the folks in Guthrie County to stay safe, to stay vigilant, to get your vaccine when you can, and to try and create peace within your communities and to help each other out. Iowa's better than this. Let's do what we do best and show the country that we know how to come together. Thanks for having me on.